Welcome to your doom.
Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
Eszol Gabir úr, jelentsérék a csárdában vannak.
Kicsodák?
Jelentsérék.
És ti hová mentek? Átak a kurva anyátok!
Hey, so this is the Gaming Beast again, and this is Beastcast number 16, I believe. Anyway, yes, this one is going to be a little bit late again. I started my new job a while ago, and I have to work at nights at a hotel. And, yeah, that kind of switched over my sleeping habits, so I'm kind of, I thought I would have this one on time, but it's not, so don't worry about it. If you're listening to this, obviously it got up still in the week, so I'm going to try to record way in advance so I can avoid this, but things like that happen, so let's not talk about this anymore. Anyway, we're not talking. I'm talking into the mic, and let's see what's on Superhero Hype, the website that I always check for my superhero movie news. And there has been a new poster released for the IMAX release of Dark Knight Rises. And it looks pretty cool. You got Batman standing somewhere high over Gotham. It's in fires, and then there's the Batman symbol shining through. Like, there's a big black cloud, and the Batman symbol is kind of a hole where the sun comes through, and it says the legend ends in IMAX. And again, this poster is another sign that not only will Nolan end the trilogy here, but he will actually kill off Batman, which I think is stupid in a way, but it could be done well. And he has his first two movies were really good, and I think it will be good, but my issue is still it's a little bit too much its own thing. I enjoy it as its own thing, as its own Batman, but it's not really the Batman that I would like to see, you know. I'm not expecting whenever they're going to reboot Batman that it's going to be sorry, I just got distracted. Because I've been checking the movie news on... There is a new Resident Evil movie in the making. I don't even know which one it is, but apparently it's... Yeah. Resident Evil Retribution. And I really didn't look into it because I really stopped caring about Resident Evil movies after the second one. I think there was 3, 4... I think this should be the 5th one. And they still have Mila Jovovich. And at this point, the movie is... Again, its own thing in a different way. It still follows somewhat Resident Evil mythology, but you know, we can see Mila Jovovich in kind of an S&M outfit, basically, with guns and stuff. Of course we have the resident Latino tough chick. What's her name again? You know, she was in that movie SWAT, if you have seen that. I'm so tough, and I'm a woman. It's like... I'm not against tough women in movies, but not a caricature of tough women. I'd like to see an actress who can pull off a tough woman who is still a woman. You know, not trying to be a male. You know, I don't think... tough, and I'm not saying that she's male looking, she's female looking, but she always looks this slightly pissed. And then we have some kind of douchebag with a really stupid haircut and beard, just like looking really dumb. And then we have the black guy from that series that failed, that spy series, and I don't know, he looks a little bit too well groomed to be some kind of commando. He's holding a machine gun. Looks too well groomed. Like, I want to see like a battered up Wesley Snipes, you know, or something like that. Then Wesley Snipes is in jail, so we're not gonna talk about that anymore. But you know, whatever. I don't know. I think for money, didn't pay his taxes or something else. But yeah, Resident Evil, from all the video game franchises, the only one that to actually grow into a true franchise. Look where the film started and when they're going. Are they still making more? Who knows? As long as they're making money, I guess. I think it's as soon as Mila Jovovich gets sick of it and jumps the boat, but I think that's the only job she gets now still. Since I don't think there's ever going to be a Fifth Element 2. Kind of a hard movie to write a sequel to, like, kind of impossible, to be honestly. It's not impossible, but it's kind of, you have a complete, perfect sci-fi movie and sci-fi action movie and, well, I would say sci-fi action comedy movie. But anyway, yeah, other thing is, I've been checking, I haven't read them yet, but there has been a new series of comics DC has been bringing out, which is called Before Watchmen, where they do like a prequel series, like more or less the origin stories, and delve deeper into the time of Watchmen. And they do one for every character now. There's a review for Ozymandias number one. Very controversial because, of course, the Watchmen priests. Yes, I'm going to call those the Alan Moore fanboys, I'm sure, are opposing this because, oh my god, it's not written by the holy man Alan Moore himself, and he said there should never be another Watchmen comic and blah blah. And I'm not saying that I don't agree with them, but on the other hand, they're kind of just annoying fanboys at this point, so I'm like, well, it's a business. And DC has ultimately the rights, so why shouldn't they make a series? I mean, if it fails, then just don't accept it as canon and don't buy it. You know, I always say you make your own canon. You know, there's always people who say, you know, it's not canon because the company says it's not canon. And I say, fuck you. You know what? If you're such a boring fucktard that you can't decide what's canon and what's not for how you see the movie or the series. You know, because a lot of times those movie producers don't give a fuck and they just throw in stuff left and right. Like, in the Jason movie series, you could easily take the fifth Jason movie out, just remove it completely, and it would actually make the series, at least, I have watched up to the seventh movie, it would make it look better. It would make more sense because after the, you know, and because, you know, you have the kid, I'm gonna spoil all the beans, but you had like 30 years to watch those movies or 20 years or something. If you haven't, then it's your own fault, especially now. If you haven't, go on Netflix, watch them now. Okay, you have 5 minutes to watch it, and you can stop it and watch it anyway. Sure. Well, that was kind of weird. Anyway, so because you have this kid, which was played by one of the Coreys in the fourth movie, which I thought was one of the best Jason movies, because it was a really cool ending to like the real Jason. And then the fifth one was really weird because we had Tommy, who is the kid from Corey, who played by Corey Feldman. And Corey Feldman also returned for a brief scene in the beginning where he has a nightmare where he's at Jason's cemetery and, you know, he thinks something like that, and, you know, it's just weird. Basically, you see him, time passes and he's now a teenager, but he's been in a psychiatric, ward for a long time, which makes sense. Because if you remember the fourth one, which was actually quite creepy, he gets pretty crazy and he more or less kills Jason. And in a way, it's implied that he becomes the next Jason. And the fifth movie, you have Jason suddenly return. And at the very end, it turns out it's one of the guys. Because of course they are in a camp kind of summer camp kind of thing, full of nutty teenagers. All of them are insane, one way or another. And of course it's next to Crystal Lake, which doesn't make fucking sense. At least Crystal Lake itself is locked down this point. They don't even call it Crystal Lake anymore. They may have also changed the name of the town. But with all those killings that happened before that, we have four movies, and even in the first one there were multiple different killings, so to build an insane asylum there without any security, because the guy says, oh, we're gonna help them, and blah, blah, blah. And then we have this one fat, obnoxious kid who is a freaking caricature of fat people. It's actually really sad and offensive to a degree, but then it's a Jason movie, so what are you expecting? It's a Friday the 13th movie. And the kid is just like eating obnoxiously as ice cream. He's probably just, you know, eating an ice cream, he's like, okay, eat this ice cream and be really messy and like, well, because you're a silly fat person, you know, and he was like really offended, but he said, well, I'm getting paid, so I might as well do it. I think it's really sad that you have to like go to this stupid, but it's a fucking Friday 13th movie, so you have to take it with a huge grain of salt, and we are at the fifth movie at this point. So, you know, we have to kind of balance out all the horny jocks and hot chicks with some nerds, I guess. I always remember the guy who gave Jason the mask. I think it was in the third movie. I'm kind of mixing. I kind of watched them one after another. I think it's the third movie. Pretty sure it's the third movie. You had that one guy with the, you know, the one, I don't know, he was basically somewhat slightly obese, you know, not too bad, you know, and he was the nerd, and he would always, like, pull pranks, like, really grisly pranks. Like, the first prank he pulls is, like, he does a fake axe to his head, and the whole point to that thing is that you think, oh my god, Jason starts killing, and I said, nah, he doesn't start killing, because the characters have to be set up still a little bit, so you care a little bit more about them, so they're not just like cannon fodder that early, you know, they have to enter. Basically, it boils down to the young kids have to go and fuck, and basically, once Jason sees that, he always remembers the time when, oh, they were having sex and they ignored him drowning. So at this point this is quite diluted, but it's the third movie, so it's not too bad yet. His motivations. The best time I really remember it that was very strong was in the second movie, and I think Jason with the sack on his head was still the creepiest looking one, and he had the head of his mother there on an altar. That was quite creepy, you know. I mean, it wasn't really that scary. I mean it was still, but it was cool. It was well made, you know. You know, it was definitely on the creepier side. I can imagine back then it was a big deal, but you know, we got like to a point where the horror junkies are looking for torture porn to get their high. That's something I don't delve into. And you know, the only thing close to that would be Itchy the Killer, and that's the edited American version. And yeah, that's as much as I can take. And you know, you can call me whatever you want, but there's some crazy hardcore shit I just read about, and it made me, you know, sick. No, I'm not even gonna mention it. I'm not even gonna touch it. Anyway, so you got that kid, right? And he's got like this whole bag full of masks and shit. And that's a theme that is continued with Tommy. Tommy just enjoys making horror masks, but it has a reason, because he does the whole mind fuck thing with Jason. The same thing they did within the second movie, where they like where the chick dresses up, puts his mom's pullover on, and people say, "Oh, bullshit!" You know, I mean, but you have to remember, Jason was a he was, you know, a handicapped kid, and so he was special, I guess. I don't want to be offensive here because people are very sensitive with that. So, and he didn't know anything else since then, since he drowned and somehow survived. Because that was one of the best parts in the first one, was the ending, one of the greatest twists, and that was legitimately frightening. But the problem was, before I've seen the movie, I've seen, like, top 10 scariest moments, top 100 scariest moments or scariest movies ever, and that was like on VH1. Yeah, that was the time I watched VH1 when I way back in college, when I was renting a room and a guy had cable, and I said, you know, why not watch TV? I didn't have internet. I had to go to the library if I wanted to do internet, and it was a different time still. Now I don't watch TV, I just watch Netflix or Hulu. Actually, I was just watching Hulu and Netflix. Also a reason why this is a little bit late, to be honest. But yeah, I am drifting on and going off on tangents, mega tangents. Point is, I don't even know what my original point was, but yeah. Dark Knight with the legend ends. It's like, I had already a problem with the Dark Knight. Now, you're going to say, oh, how dare you say anything bad about the Dark Knight? Christopher Nolan is the god of everything and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, chill out. I like the Dark Knight. I really did. But was it because it was a good Batman movie or a good superhero movie, or was it because it was generally a good psychological drama? My biggest problem with The Dark Knight, it still felt very apologetic. You know, there's the problem is with superhero movies, it's because, oh my god, they wear silly costumes and fight other guys in silly costumes. It's like people is like, oh my god, it's not military guys looking all pissed and fighting other evil terrorists, and then that's gritty, that's realistic, that's hardcore, like gangsta guys, you know. It's like, give me a fucking break. I mean, when we're talking superheroes, I'm expecting certain things, you know. I'm not saying every superhero movie has to be the same and you cannot do different, and yes, Batman is pretty much at this point DC's golden boy, golden franchise, you know. Like, the last time they tried Superman, that failed, more or less. I mean, it wasn't a complete failure. Then they tried now Green Lantern, and I'm back to DC again. I'll delve into that in a second, but I'm just going to focus just fast on Dark Knight Rises and Dark Knight. Dark Knight was a good movie, but my only issue was that at times it just felt like a crime movie, like a crime psychological movie, and like completely, like you could have removed Batman, and I'm not the only one who said that. And it would have been still a good movie. And that's the good thing about, you know, Nolan really has his own take on Batman. And he does follow the ground principles very, very closely. You know, you have Bruce Wayne, who's Batman, and you have, you know, his butler, Alfred, and Commissioner Gordon. That's what I love about this one, because in the first Batman movies, the Tim Burton ones, and then the Joel Schumacher ones, which are considered one franchise because technically it's considered one franchise because there is continuity, even though the Batmans were switching for the third and fourth one. Robin was the same guy, and Alfred was the same in all of the movies. So it's one franchise. It's considered one franchise. Continuity is slightly weaker, but it's still pretty strong, and it's not so hard to... Yeah, the guys who play Batman switch, but if you really wanted to, you could just imagine your favorite one. I mean, except George Clooney, because if you really like George Clooney, then yeah, go fuck yourself. I liked Val Kilmer as Batman because I like Val Kilmer in general. You know, he is a cool actor. He is one of the... Back in the 90s, he was considered more of an action hero. You know, I mean, even you hardcore, gritty, realistic fans, you got Heat, which is one of my favorite. Like, if you want to go, like, hardcore, realistic action movie, and this one isn't really that realistic either, but it's just more, I guess, it feels more realistic, you know? I mean, it's definitely more realistic than a lot of the other stuff that came out at the time. So, and it's... Anyway, Val Kilmer... I liked Val Kilmer and Batman Forever. A lot of people, you know, hated Batman Forever, but Batman Forever had good things going for it. I'm not going to say it was, you know, I know guys like my roommate, the Devil's Advocate, will be like, oh my god, yeah, Nolan, yeah, we get it, okay? You know, he's saying like, oh, you have a problem with Nolan, you know, and stuff. Yes, I have a problem with Nolan, you know, because he could have been, like, he says that, you know, if there's other superheroes there, then Batman is not so cool anymore, or something like that, you know, and is really, like, pseudo-intellectual, like, pretentious... blah blah, you know. And I'm not saying that he doesn't understand his craft. I completely acknowledge he understands his craft. But his style is just so, like... he made a movie about guys invading dreams, and it... To be quite frankly, Inception was a good movie. I liked it, but on the other hand, it could have been so much more. You know, it could have been Matrix on crack if you really wanted to. But instead it was like, oh, it's James Bond in the head. And I'm like, James Bond is crazier than that if you go to classic Bond. You know, the Bond of today is like... I don't know, they wanted to go to a very, like, no-nonsense version of Bond, which is okay. But then it's just like a generic, forgettable action movie. Like, do you really remember anything about the new James Bond movies, other than maybe in Casino Royale, the casino scene? Like, that's the only thing, and then the ending when the girl dies or something. But other than that, I don't remember anything. I remember the one guy had this weird thing in his eye, and that's it. Like, as much as I don't agree with anything with Movie Bob, there's a couple of things I do agree on. And I agree on... He said that the new James Bond didn't have... how do you say... It changed things, but... It didn't know still it's... It didn't know what it wanted to really be. Like, I think... All they wanted to do is get away all the what in quote unquote corny stuff. Like, today's threshold for corny is ridiculously low. Like, you can do anything that looks, if people are not wearing constantly black, then that's considered corny, you know? Like, what is wrong with people nowadays, you know? It's like, when I was listening to Shintai's podcast, which you should check out with his friend, fortunately his name doesn't come to mind, and I hope you don't get offended, it's just, you know, it doesn't come to mind with his friend, And they were talking about, you know, comic books, us, and movies and stuff. And then they were talking about Superman Returns and how they mentioned Gotham City. And then they were saying,
I can't imagine the Dark Knight in with Superman. I'm like,
that kind of broke my heart a little bit, I will tell you honestly, because you know, younger generation who are more familiar with the movies than with the comics, that's the problem, is with the movies. You want to reflect in general what you have. What the fuck is this sound? Okay, I'm gonna stop the recording here for a second. Okay, sorry, it's just this, my window was tilted, and I live next to, there's a football field, soccer field. It's like there's a river, small river, and then right on the other side is a soccer field, and I'm guessing apparently they're cutting the grass, mowing the lawn, and it sounded like, you know, a gigantic bee swirling around. It's just really annoying, like, and I don't know if that's on the recording, but if it is, then I apologize, but what you gonna do, right? Anyway, let's continue on. Not to stop the recording. Just got lost my train of thought. Anyway, they were saying that they couldn't imagine, oh my god, they couldn't imagine Batman with like Superman and the DC Universe. I'm like, I cannot imagine it without them, you know? Yes, Batman works just by himself, and I do enjoy the Nolanverse, but there's a reason why I call it the Nolanverse, because it just feels like Nolan's interpretation of Batman. Like, even the look of... I really enjoyed the look of Joker. Like, that's something he did change, and he did add things, but it was things that really fit with Joker. He still wore purple. He still had the face paint, but he had this whole weird, you know, cut his mouth to, like, have a bigger grin. That stuff was cool. That's something I can see the Joker doing, you know. Two-Face was good, too. I mean, the villains were good. Although, I found Two-Face added, really, on the end of Dark Knight, a little bit. But then it's kind of a tradition, and that's a tradition and with Batman movies that has been held since the second Batman movie, even with the newer ones, that there's always two villains in there, at least. Think about it. The first one had only the Joker in there. The second one had Catwoman and Penguin, and also Christopher Walken's character. But he's a villain, but he's like an unmasked villain, you know, so. And Catwoman switches her role by the end of the movie. And then you have, in the third one, you have Riddler and what's his name? Two-Face. And then the fourth one, you got Mr. Freeze, Poison Ivy, and technically you got Bane, but he's like just a big idiot, so yeah. And then with Batman Begins, you had Scarecrow. Yes, he was in the movie, don't forget. And I really got pissed that his role got so minimized. Honestly, from the new Nolan movies, I enjoyed... Is it blasphemy for me to say that I almost enjoyed Batman Begins more, if I think about it now? Like, I wish Batman Begins would have had the Joker in it, but... No. Like, I like Batman Begins how it is, but I wish that Batman, like, Dark Knight was more like Batman Begins, if you know what I mean. It's just like, it's more superhero, it's less apologetic, but the Dark Knight just becomes more this, I am the hero that Gotham deserves and all this stuff. It just sounds... It does sound cool, especially you see it the first time, but it's just not... I just don't feel like... yes, I have an emotional response. The acting is very good. The writing is very good. But on the other hand, I just feel like You know, it's like Batman is almost out of place. These other characters are almost out of place. They're just added in, kind of like. It just doesn't feel as tight in a way like that. Batman is part of that world. Like you could just put, you know, it's almost like if this would have been a Punisher movie and like the Garth Ennis Punisher Max run, this would have been a better run. This would have been something I would have accepted more. Like, again, Dark Knight, I like it, but definitely Christian Bale is the best Batman Bruce Wayne combo. Although personally, I my favorite is still Val Kilmer, but was Christian Bale was a better balance. Like it was a good movie. It's like hard for me to put this in words, and I enjoyed the movie Dark Knight. I really enjoyed the Batman Joker quips when they're talking, but the whole reason when he says, you know, that they have to hunt me down, it's like all this, they're kind of mixing in a lot of the political debates, especially now with the new one, how it seems like the 1% thing. I am not so happy with that decision. Now, I don't think it's going to be bad. I think it's going to be good. Like, as long as he stays true to his formula, it's going to be good. But it feels very safe. Like, my biggest issue is that how much Batman is hermetically sealed. Like, all the movies in DC that they made are so hermetically sealed in their own thing. They barely even recognize the other characters. It's like, it's not a crossover. These characters are officially in the same universe. It's a shared universe. So I don't see it as a crossover. A crossover for me is if like Image Comics or Marvel Comics have characters appear in the same comic. That's a crossover. Technically you could still call it a crossover, sure, but well, yeah, the other one you would call an intercompany crossover, you know, but for me, it's not a crossover. For me, it's just like, you know, Superman and Batman, they're like best friends. They hang out at each other's pad. You know, if they would drink, they would have a beer. But, you know, they just drink water and milkshakes, I guess. Which some people might say is holier than thou. But Batman doesn't drink because he's Batman and he always has a clear head. Funny thing is, once he retires as Batman in the Dark Knight Returns comic, he actually grabs the bottle pretty much. And what I'm seeing with Dark Knight Rises, it's gonna take again elements from Dark Knight Returns and also from Nightfall storyline, obviously, because that's the storyline where Bane breaks Batman's back. And from what I could see in the trailers, it's going to be like Batman has been gone for a while. And there's even a scene with, what's the guy's name? He's also in Inception. He's like one of the favorites for Christopher Nolan, other than DiCaprio. What's his name? He has kind of a longish face. He kind of looks like a little bit like Wesley Crusher, but I can actually stand a guy like Wesley Crusher. Maybe it's just the character that I can't stand. Inception. You see, that's my problem is with Nolan's style. It's very, I don't know, it's very low key. I might have been watching a lot of what people might say campy or corny stuff that maybe I'm just like I need, but Inception is a movie that's his own thing. He does what he wants with it, you know. That's his own thing. So, I did enjoy that. Even though I would have done it differently, and like you can handle traveling into the mind and dream traveling differently, like for example in The Cell, or that one, there was this one movie from the 80s. I have a bunch of these lists. Okay, here's this top 10 superhero movies without superheroes. You know what? I'm going to talk about that list the next. But basically, there's this other movie where they travel. There's this guy who travels into dreams, and I really like it. And yeah, it's from the 80s, and I have a big hard-on for stuff from the 80s, usually, Dreamscape. And it's really cool because they really go more imaginative, you know, and it's similar to... And that's way before Inception. Inception is like, it has this whole James Bond heist movie feel to it. But then it has, on the end, it has a couple of elements that I liked, but they don't really delve deeper into it. You know, it's like, you know, why not just, like the girl says, why not do something that is more imaginative? And he says, well, we want to trick them, and they wouldn't, you know. And that does make sense. But I don't want everything to make sense in my movie, you know? What I did like from his movies that I recently watched is The Prestige. Because it's actually based off a book about these two illusionists, these two, you know, magicians in the 19th century and the stuff that they do in the background, you know, and... You know, I'm not going to give it away. It's really good. You can see the Nolan style in it. But in that one, I mean, it's based on a book, so it just feels... I don't know. Like, I wish Nolan... I'm not expecting Nolan to change, you know. But my biggest issue is what he does work well with Batman, you know. And if it sounded like that I really hated Dark Knight, it's not the truth. I'm just saying the elements that I didn't like so much. Like, there were scenes, long scenes, where we never see Batman or Bruce Wayne, but we just see the cops and the people and those different normal people just talk and do normal people stuff, and it's just like... I came to watch this movie for Batman and for the characters in Batman, and not some random, you know, like, who was that? There was this one guy. I don't know. Like, there's just some things about it that is, for example, the thing, it's more the things that he said that is gonna be part of the movies for sure. Like, he said that, you know, he would never merge. He would never put in Superman or, like, any kind of other DC character in there. Not even mention them or not even, you know, hint at a bigger universe like Marvel did. Because he felt like that would dilute the Holy Batman. And that's kind of what is kind of annoying me with a lot of the kids that... They like Batman so much that they think Batman is like this invincible juggernaut in the DC universe. Now let me get the record straight. Batman is definitely one of the smartest guys in the DC universe, and he can pretty much outthink everyone in the DC universe. And I've seen this one thing, like this one meme, Justice League more like Batman and his bitches, and I'm like, yeah, I know it's a joke, and haha, it is actually a little bit funny, but on the other, and he did save the Justice League's ass a lot. Batman ass was saved a lot through Wonder Woman, Superman, Martian Manhunter, Green Lantern, Flash, because he's a fragile human being. Because he can't fly, because he's not invulnerable, because he doesn't have super speed, because he cannot shoot lasers out of his ass. He is the guy that, yes, he's the smart guy, and yes, he can take care of himself, but if he has to stay, if he's standing in front of Darkseid, he's got to call in the big friends, you know, like, when it comes to, he might have a plan to stop Darkseid, but it will probably involve the other heroes doing what they do. Now, to be fair, I'm more or less also mentioning Justice League and Justice League Unlimited from the Diniverse, which is my favorite incarnation of the DC Universe, and I hope the live-action movies will be similar to the Diniverse and to the Dini-produced movies that they made, animated movies. It's, like, amazing. They can make great animated movies, but they are incapable of making a good live-action movie if it's not Nolan and Batman attached. Or the Christopher Reeve Superman movies, and only the first two. Like, those are pretty much the ones that, you know, and that's another thing that one of the guys, the other guy, I forgot his name for Shintai's and his and this guy's, it's a really good podcast, you should check it out. I gotta find out what's his name. Here, feed, maybe I can find it on my YouTube channel. I know, very professional, right? But he's been saying that he tried to watch the first Superman movie and he got bored, and it's like this. I just also feel sad. Okay, Shin and Boss, hero of Hyrule, I think. And I wrote some responses, you know, and didn't get an answer to those yet. Which I find a little disappointing. Holy shit, I wrote a bunch of answers. Maybe that's the problem. Yeah, but he was saying how that the first Superman movie was too boring and too long, and I can understand if younger people have a problem with it, but I still think that Superman the movie holds its ground in terms of superhero movies, and is still, in my opinion, the best superhero movie ever. And yes, it has a lot to do with nostalgia, but it's also in general because it's a good movie. And you know, not every movie has to go on 200 miles per hour. One of the things about Nolan's Batman movies is that at times they're a little bit slower paced, you know. And at times, I mean, you know, and I just wish that Christopher Nolan would have said, at least give the possibility for other characters to share that universe, you know. Because now he has set it up, you know, now I don't want to even to for that to happen, you know, because now he's like, he has done it, he said it. He has set up Dark Knight, because after Batman Begins, there was a good chance still that after Batman Begins that there could have been something like that, and there was some very timid steps. Oh my God! Like, I don't see what Warner was thinking. I understand that they were afraid, but I remember they could have beat Marvel with that easy, you know, and they tried multiple times. Like, I remember in the Superman Returns, what I already mentioned with these guys, they said that they mentioned Gotham, that Superman was seen in Gotham, and I was so excited for that. For me, that was an awesome thing. That was like, you know, just like with Samuel Jackson Avengers Initiative. When I hear that Superman was in Gotham, I was even more excited. Because, yes, that Avengers Initiative was awesome. But with, you know, it was the same moment, you know. And I thought, you know, oh, this is gonna... And it was just very minor. It was... You could have missed it, you know. You blink and you miss it. And Avengers Initiative, you're not gonna miss, you know, if you sit to the end, you know. And there's other elements in it where hint on the other characters very early on. The first Iron Man already, it's kind of a hidden thing, but on his desk you can see Captain America's shield, one of the prototypes, you know, which hint at that. And the Incredible Hulk, Abomination inserts and he takes a super soldier serum and puts it in. That was the very first time, because I see those things very early on. And that was there. Super soldier serum? Are you fucking kidding me? And when you see the guy, Tim Roth, jump around, like, basically like Captain America, and I was thinking to myself, they're not only gonna make a Captain America movie. Already then I noticed, oh my god, they're setting up a Captain America movie with this new Hulk, and and maybe more. And then on the Hulk movie, before that we had the new Iron Man movie, right? So in Iron Man you had the first little, but it was so small. And then the Hulk, you have freaking Tony Stark appear. They're actually not only acknowledging the other characters, they're building something here, you know, and that was huge. And with Superman Returns, they kind of wanted to do the same thing, you know. And you had, I remember the only other time that Superman and Batman ever got to share the screen in any other way, you know, not really share, but acknowledge each other's existence, officially, not in a fan movie, officially, you have Superman Returns, where they mention Gotham. Then you have, what is it? You have, oh my god, Batman and Robin, where George Clooney's Batman says, you know, he's annoyed by Robin because Robin is complaining. And Batman says, "That's why Superman works alone," in a really stupid voice, because George Clooney just horribly, you know. But then again, I guess it was meant as a comedy. But that was the only time, you know. And and I guess they even mentioned him barely in the very last season of Smallville, where I think Chloe came back and she mentioned... They mentioned Gotham twice, because that's how much they could mention it. Like, they could say Gotham existed. That's it. They couldn't mention ever Batman, Bruce Wayne, because Warner has this great ruling, is that if they're making a movie based on a character, then they cannot mention him in a series. Which doesn't make sense, because Smallville was still well on its way that it was still made when Superman Returns came out. But I guess Smallville isn't really Superman. It's a story of, it's a soap opera with Clark Kent, when he sometimes does some kind of heroics, but they're kind of lame, and he never puts on his costume to the very last episode, so they can go fuck themselves. Only reason I might check out still one or two episodes of Smallville is because they have a couple of episodes where they have the Justice Society in full costume. So yeah, the GASA. And I want to check that out. I want to see how it looks like. I want to see if it's how it's possible. And then they had a good thing going there in the degree, because yes, it was still a soap opera and it was lame for the most part. But they showed that they were kind of desperate at getting new viewers, so they were then finally, they had Green Arrow, which was pretty well done, you know, Green Arrow. And I didn't mind that they changed his costume. They took the hooded version, and that's something he did wear in the comics, you know. And there was a cameo of him wearing the Robin Hood version, but he was going as Robin Hood in a costume ball. And they couldn't use Wonder Woman, but I remember distinctly that there was... Well, I don't remember. I didn't see the episode, but there's an episode, apparently, where I did see that. I don't know. Where Lois Lane goes as an Amazonian princess, and her costume is obviously a diluted Wonder Woman costume. And then there's another mention of a Themyscirian princess doing something in a newspaper. Even that, at least, is somewhat acknowledged that they exist in some way. Like, Themyscira apparently exists, but Wonder Woman hasn't appeared yet, and so far people think Themyscira is just a normal country or something. But I'm pretty sure, because they're continuing Smallville as a comic book, You know, and now, of course, you have Superman already in Superman gear. But not that I'm really interested in that, because that's my sad thing, is that you have a series like The Adventures of Lois and Clark, where you could have Superman in costume and it worked well. Some people might even, you know, like the Superboy series. I personally didn't like that much, but it was still, you know, not bad. I mean, it was more for kids, it was simpler. So for that it worked. There's still, it has its fans. But I personally preferred Lois and Clark because it was done for an older audience. And it was, you know, it was somewhat toned down. It was, the stories were more like, you know, a TV show. They weren't as crazy, you know, but they still had, you know, their sci-fi elements, and it was more like a sci-fi show in a way, because you had Superman, you know, come and save the day, but it was still a Superman show. It was still a superhero show, and you had also the Flash series, which was cool. That was straight up like that, and you had that, and there the costume worked. And what I didn't understand as a kid is, like, why didn't they have the Flash guy appear on the Superman on Lois and Clark back then? What was holding them back? You know, the only times you have other heroes appear is what they make up, is like they had what is it? There was a couple of episodes where Superman loses powers and somebody else gains them. There was this one dude who gained his powers, but Superman still had his powers, and it was just some little nerdy looking dude. And then they had actually a fight, a proper superhero fight, but most of it was off camera. And I can understand, I guess, budgetary restrictions, but they did some other fights. Like, I remember one of my favorite fights in Lois and Clark was the Metallo fight. You know, and he was usually, Metallo in that was just a guy, he just looked like a guy in clothes, and you didn't really see anything of his robot skin, but he was, you know, you could see a little bit, you know, his arm was exposed or stuff, but it was still a good fight, you know, and he melted his legs and stuff, and with his heat vision, and I thought that was pretty cool, and it was more or less Metallo, you know, changed somewhat. But still Metallo, you know, and that's my thing, is that, and they had actually before Smallville, they had the show Birds of Prey, which is something that I really want to watch. I've only seen, you know, small tidbits, but it's, as far as I understand, Batman, you know, it's a show about Huntress, the daughter from Batman and Catwoman. In an alternate universe, there's Huntress, and then they somehow took Huntress and put her in the main universe and just had her a different origin. But in this universe, in the Birds of Prey one, she's the daughter of Batman and Catwoman. In the intro, Batman looks pretty much like in the Tim Burton movies, and that was kind of cool, you know. And you could almost see that series as a continuation after the second Tim Burton movie, you know. And but then Batman and Catwoman disappeared. But that's okay, you know, because that show is about and it was a very short lived, it was like, what, I think 10, 13 episodes, not even a full season. But it's something I really want to watch too. Because that one looks more like, you have also Oracle, you have Batwoman, you know, characters that didn't have any good representation. The only time you had Batwoman, other than the 60s, I don't know if she was in the 60s movie, but I know she's in the 60s TV series, but we had her in the Batman and Robin movie. But it was what's her name, the Clueless chick, and yeah, she's very boneable, very hot, especially then, Alicia Silverstone. Yeah, she's pretty much teenage boy's fantasy at that time. But she was also very annoying, and because they haven't really established Commissioner Gordon in these movies, he's barely noticed. He was just a bumbling idiot, and like, he had barely any screen time, so he was There was no real Commissioner Gordon's thing going on there, so to have her connect, so because she's actually the daughter of Commissioner Gordon, and that would have worked if they would have have, if they would have established a real true connection with Batman and Commissioner Gordon as it should be, but they didn't, and then they just said, oh, she's the niece from Alfred, and I'm like, okay, it was kind of lame, but it was just her personality that was really lame, and it wasn't even the costume that bothered me that much, because they changed that. Because costume is costume, especially for minor characters. It was just her personality, because, you know, I liked her a lot in the, again, in the Diniverse cartoon. So much potential, you know, with Bird of Prey, and that got cancelled. It had a couple of episodes, but, and again, potential for crossovers, but no, we have to do it again new, and now we have DC's newest, which I think I already talked about, Arrow, and they're making it all dark and gritty, and they're trying to be like Dark Knight. I'm like, no, no. Dark Knight worked because it worked, and it's a movie, but if you're gonna do it like this, and they're saying, you know, what really works about this show is that nobody has superpowers in this show. And I'm like, is it really so hard for people to accept people with superpowers and wearing silly costumes? Heroes was popular for 4 seasons, you know. You know, people think 4 seasons is bad. No, 4 seasons is good. Not every show has to last till 8 or 10 seasons. 4 seasons is just fine. Yes, what is it? Farscape could have lasted another 4 seasons, but think about it. If it would have lasted another 4 seasons, then by the sixth season, you would have been sick about it. They would have run out of ideas, and it would have turned sour. Believe me. Ending with the Peacekeeper Wars was a good thing. I would have still enjoyed another season, maybe two. I would have really, but I liked how it ended. You know, some shows can last longer, some don't. Firefly, definitely, I'm also of the opinion, should have lasted at least a full season. Hell, at least also 4 seasons. I could have seen Firefly easily fill up 4 seasons. Some people might argue more, but quantity is not always quality, you know. They had a movie instead to finish up the storylines, which I liked. There's again Birds of Prey, great idea. Now they're doing Arrow, and the only other character, DC character, I've seen even like hinted at in the trailer barely was Deathstroke, aka Slade, if you know the Teen Titans cartoon. But the problem is, if they're gonna put in Slade, but they're not gonna put in the Teen Titans. Because you cannot put in then the Teen Titans, because then you have to also put in Batman, you have to also put in Superman, because you're going to have Superboy. Okay, if you're not going to have Superboy, fine. If you're going to make it like the cartoon, like you have only Beast Boy, Cyborg, you got the Magic Chick, and you got the Alien Chick, Starfire. But then you have to have superpowers. You know, either way, you're not going to get around it. You know, and you have to have Batman, because Teen Titans without Robin is just like, you can't forget about it. You know. Oh, and you have to have Robin, and everybody knows everybody hates Robin, you know. Like, but yeah. Let's check on. Let me put in a song. I've been rambling on for almost an hour. Fuck it. No, I'm not gonna put in a song yet. I'm going to talk about these things, and then I'm going to put in a song and end the show. Top 10 superhero movies without superheroes. That's a Crave Online article, and I really liked it. And people have been talking about it. They did this list because they really like Chronicle, and because they say if young teenage guys would get superpowers in the day and age of, as they say, jackass-inspired YouTube videos and hyper-emotional lashing out, at a world that doesn't understand them. And I find that very interesting. It's because, you know, that's where the morality of using superpowers comes from. That's what, like, Charles Xavier comes from. And yes, they say that Chronicle is a superhero movie without superheroes. Now, I haven't seen Chronicle yet, but I wouldn't say it's without superheroes, because you don't need necessarily to have a costume to be a superhero. Now, to be a superhero, it's kind of a loose thing, you know. You need to have, either you have to have the costume, or you have to have the powers. But if you're missing the powers, but you have the costume, then it works. But you're missing the power, you're missing the costume, but you have the powers, then it works. But if you just are just a dude who's fighting the system, it can work, but it has to still fill in certain aspects. It's kind of a hard genre to define, the superhero genre. But anyway, they mentioned Scanners, which I enjoyed a lot. It's a movie about people with psychic abilities, and they're like outcasts and stuff. And it's really cool because it has a lot of stuff from X-Men in it. But it's from David Cronenberg, and some people, the guy is saying that it's a mixed bag and it's not so good. I think it's fucking awesome. I mean, we got the one of the actors who, what is it? Stephen Lack. I don't know. Michael Ironside, yeah, the main villain. I mean, fucking Michael Ironside can be so freaking creepy and, like, evil. And he's the perfect evil guy who wants to rule the universe. And there's a scene where he just blows up another guy's head with his mind. And I thought, you see, that's kind of showing how much psychic powers could be used in an evil way. You remember in X-Men 2 when Magneto wanted to blow everybody, Evie's mind up with Xavier's powers and the big orb thingy? Yeah. That's pretty much would have happened in Scanners, but imagine that with everybody who's human, so it would have been pretty distasteful. Then we have Dreamscape at number 9. So those are movies that are technically without superheroes, but still are with superheroes. You know, they just don't have the costume necessarily, and a lot of the, you know, secret identity and a lot of the things that we expect from superhero movies. But I still would call them in many ways like that. Dreamscape is about this guy who can enter dreams, and then they, Dennis Quaid is actually playing that. It was, you know, they call this his memorable hero phase, sci-fi hero phase. Also, they mention Inner Space and Enemy Mine. A psychic who can enter other people's dreams. But they basically trick him into entering a political head of state to gain some information. But it's really cool because you have like stop motion effects and some really creative stuff there. I personally enjoyed it a lot, you know. Then they mentioned Step Up 3D, which is everybody there was mentioning in the comment section that, ugh, why Step Up 3D? And I thought, yeah, they're gonna throw in the curveball. And they're mentioning it because they have, like, these guys who are super-powered dancers. And including a robot. And they're competing against post-apocalyptic road warriors and samurais to save their club. So they're, like, using their powers to dance. So it's somewhat of a stretch, but I guess they do have superpowers. They just use it for something else, and they're competing. And I guess they're using it for the greater good. Then they mentioned Highlander. Definitely, you know, the different kind, you know. I mean, they are mortals. They can heal. You could see characters like that in a comic book, too. Boondock Saints. Yeah, sure. And everybody was like, yeah, Boondock Saints should be at number one. Yeah, Boondock Saints, Boondock Saints. You know. Boondock Saints was good. It wasn't that great. I mean, I enjoyed it, but there's a lot of guys who are just like, oh my god, Boondock Saints. And I'm like, I might get flack for this, but I enjoyed it, but it wasn't the... It's not better than Loaf Bread or anything, you know. It's enjoyable, but I think it's especially enjoyable. Like, I think I was a little bit too old to watch this movie. If you're between 12 and 16 and you want to be like the rebel, it's like the post-Tarantino kind of movies. You know, I grew up with Pulp Fiction and From Dusk Till Dawn. That was my Boondock Saints, if that makes any sense. The cool guys with the big guns doing ridiculous shootouts. You see, by the time I watched Boondock Saints, it was, you know, because I watched it later, it was a little bit late for me. I did enjoy it still, but, you know. Nightmare on Elm Street 3, Dream Warriors, and I think that's something where they have, like, psychics or wizards or something fight Freddy Krueger. I'm not quite sure. I haven't seen that one, but one movie that did miss on the list is the Friday the 13th 7, where Jason fights more or less the psychic chick, you know, has psychic powers. That's one that could have been on this list because it's on the same kind of idea. And you have this weird movie, Nightbreed, by Clive Barker. And it's about those... kind of reminds me of Angel, the series. Second Unit 2. Second Unit... Special Unit 2, where they have... It's like Man in Black, but with creatures of myth and legend. That's kind of what it looks like, you know. You have a more or less there. He's saying it's kind of like X-Men, but you have like instead demons and vampires and shit. And it looks interesting. I haven't seen that one. Dark City, definitely. I would say it's like kind of a noir thing, but it's about this city that always changes, and it's these aliens who are controlling the city. And they're changing the city and the people and their memories because they want to see what makes emotions, where does emotions come from. Because they're dying and they have to know, you know, because they're very advanced, they have psychic abilities, but for some reason they're dying and they cannot continue to exist for some reason. And you have this one guy who's the chosen one who has also psychic abilities, and at the very end it becomes actually pretty superhero-esque, a pretty cool superhuman fight in a way. But it's still very dark and very, very good sci-fi movie, one of my favorites. He again mentions that, oh, you know, there's this and that in it that doesn't work and blah blah, but it's still good and blah blah, forgivable, and it gets a little over the top. I think that's what's good about it, you know, like, people always say, oh, it's a little over the top, and he should be ashamed for that. And no. If you're going to be over the top, and you can do it, then do it. Some people try to go over the top and fail at it. There's movies that fail at it. But Dark City is not one of those movies. It knows exactly what it's doing, you know? And then Matrix, of course, definitely. I always remember, especially in the later Matrix movies, where he was fighting Mr. Smith in the third one, it kind of reminded me at times of, like, that's how a superhero movie could look like a Dragon Ball Z movie or a Superman movie or like a Hulk movie or something like that. And yeah, that's what I was thinking. And then RoboCop, and I agree, you know, and in the comic section, they said, oh, RoboCop is totally a superhero. And I say, yeah, to a degree, but he's not a straight-up forward one. This article is about movies that are not directly... You know, RoboCop is a science fiction, a cyberpunk movie, but also a satire of American culture. But it's also an action movie at the same time. I mean, it's a great movie in general. But anyway, that's RoboCop. Yeah, the list is pretty cool, and I agree with most of that, and the comment section is just at times really stupid. Not even going to read those, not even going to bother. And pretty much over time again, 70 minutes, I'm going to slap in a song, and that's going to be it for today. And I hope you enjoyed this Beastcast and made it that if you have listened up to here, then I thank you. Please support the Gaming Beast website. Check out, write a comment. I really appreciate those. Write a comment on my YouTube, write a comment in Mondo Cool. Watch my stuff, listen to my show, follow my Twitter, yada yada, like me on Facebook, you know. I really appreciate that stuff, you know, and if you want to, you know, just, you know, write me something, talk to me about something, have questions, you know, you can write me a message over email, thegamingbeast@gmail.com. You can also possibly add me on Skype. My name is TheRopGa1982, if you have a question. So, yeah. Anyway, talk to you later, guys. Bye-bye.